I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the broadcast, we'll talk about how a plan to require local police to enforce immigration laws is dividing a small Midwestern city, and the Mocha Moms talk about working part-time. But first, we're going to talk about a death penalty case that's gotten national attention. Troy Davis was scheduled to be executed in Georgia today. He is accused of killing an off-duty police officer in 1989. On Monday night, the Georgia Board of Pardons and Paroles granted a 90-day stay of execution for Davis. Davis's lawyers can now present the board with new evidence that they believe supports Davis's continued claims of innocence and requests for clemency. I'm joined by Laura Moy, Deputy Director of the Southern Region at Amnesty International USA, to tell us more about this case. She joins us from her office in Atlanta. Laura, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Greetings. Thanks so much for having me.
Laura, Troy Davis is accused of shooting an off-duty officer working as a security guard who was trying to break up a fight in a parking lot near a Burger King. Why was Davis considered a suspect to begin with?
Well, you know, it's a pretty troubling case because there was no physical evidence. There was no murder weapon that was found. The police didn't have a whole lot to go on. And so the first big break that they got was another man coming to the police station implicating Mr. Davis. And it seems to us that the police started to construct a case that it was Mr. Davis that committed the crime without really evaluating other suspects. They used pressure and coercion to get some of the witnesses to make their testimonies line up and implicate Troy. And as you know, some of those, most of those witnesses have come forward and alleged this police coercion and have changed their story and said, you know, I didn't witness that happen. I was under a lot of pressure, and I signed the statement they handed me.
It's my understanding that 7 of the 9 non-police witnesses have recanted their testimony.
Actually, 6 of them recanted. One of them implicated another person in the pretrial and first affidavit and then pointed to Troy in the trial. So we say, you know, 7 recantations or contradictions. This person actually implicated somebody else that 9 other people also implicated. So there's actually another suspect in this case that there are many people pointing to that has not been fully investigated.
Yet the Supreme Court has refused to hear this case or to hear this subsequent information. Why is that?
Well, there's a combination of really unfortunate factors here. One is in 1996, there was a law passed called the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, and that act narrowed the scope for death row inmates in terms of what they could appeal. And, you know, I think over the years it's become more difficult to appeal death penalty cases. The procedural issues have become so difficult to deal with. So basically, Mr. Davis tried to present some of the new evidence, but at each turn, things were procedurally defaulted and dismissed on technicalities.
How quickly, how far along in the process did he try to present this new evidence, or those working on his behalf tried to present this new evidence? At what point
in
the process?
He has proclaimed his innocence from the very beginning, and his family has supported that the whole time. He, you know, went through the entire course of appeals at both the state level and the federal level, and no court was willing to listen to this new evidence. So he really tried at each point to do that, but he was also disabled by the fact that the government-funded legal center that was supposed to help him got its budget slashed by 70% by the federal government. And it went from a staff of 8 people to 2, so that each person had about a caseload of 80 people on death row. So clearly he was not able to get the kind of legal support early in the appeals process. And it's like one appeal court turns you down, you know, it's like one after another, they just sort of start to affirm the decisions of the previous court.
Now, what happens now? Now that the Georgia Board of Pardons and Parole has granted the stay of execution, what happens next? Are lawyers now able to present evidence to them? So they can offer clemency, but can they offer a new trial? Can they vacate the sentence? Can they release him? What can they do?
They can offer clemency. They can commute his sentence to a life sentence. He could eventually be paroled out. There may be other avenues that the lawyers are exploring at the moment to try to seek a new trial.
Has that ever happened? Forgive me. Has that ever happened? Has a board of pardon and parole ever actually ordered a new trial or vacated a sentence? Do they have the authority to do that?
Yeah, I don't know that that is in their power, but there are legal avenues that the lawyers are seeking, and so that is not out of the question. But we continue to work for clemency and encourage people to go to the Amnesty International USA website and read more about his case, and we hope that you'll send a letter to the board, because now the clemency campaign needs to grow stronger. This story is not over. Basically, the stay means that hope is still alive, that justice still can be done, and we really need folks to show their support.
Well, the next relevant date, as I understand it, is October 14th, and that's when this current stay expires. So would testimony be presented before that, very briefly, if you would?
Yeah, they have the opportunity to present some of the other witnesses and some more information, and I think the board was really interested in reviewing more of the facts. They were concerned in their statement that they didn't want an innocent person to be executed, and we really hope that that is true.
All right, Laura Moy, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Laura Moy is the Deputy Director of the Southern Region for Amnesty International USA. She joined us from her office in Atlanta. Thanks so much.